The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next, Beth Moore challenges us to accept the forgiveness God has provided.
When we will not see ourselves as forgiven, when we go on with our heads hung in shame and under the paralysis of self-condemnation, are we calling that humility? Because God calls it unbelief. He doesn't look at that and go, "Aren't you humble?"
Help to keep moving on when life has you paralyzed. Next.
It is a joy to come into your home, and we thank you for this opportunity. I'm James Robinson. Betty, my wife, and I welcome you to Life Today, Wednesdays with Beth. And she's going to actually be teaching a subject that is in a series of inspirational health insights and information that can save your life, certainly improve it and enrich it. But she's teaching on when life has you paralyzed, and this DVD is sent along with Your Body, His Temple, where we're learning how to get our brain functioning properly, how to detoxify. What you need to understand that I think a lot of people don't, you actually inflict damage on your brain with the things that we think that are improper. And you cause the brain to become healthy with healthy thoughts. That's not just like some Bible verse. It's just simply biological fact. And so Dr. Caroline Leaf is talking about how to detoxify the brain, how to turn your brain on, and really how to get your thinking right and what's happening negatively and positively when your mind functions properly or when you take in the wrong information and let it settle. And then Janet McCarrow's talking about feeling better the older you get.
That's right.
And, you know, Betty and I getting older all the time. Glad to be getting older. Consider the alternative. We want to keep getting older,
right.
But we want to feel good while we're getting
That's
older.
Right.
I mean, we really do, and we do. But we've learned some things, and Janet McCarrow is a tremendous help. Marty Copeland, who talks about really understanding diet and exercise, but understanding that you can't just go through the processes of one fad after the other, and you need some help from above, supernatural. You're going to love the insights you're going to get from Your Body, His Temple. I want you to welcome Beth Moore as she's teaching on Wednesdays with Beth. Here's Beth.
Notice something about the scenario in Luke chapter 5, that the paralytic had two obstacles that day. I want you to see in verses 20 and 21, it says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." And the Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy?" Up earlier, it tells us that there were so many people crowded in the house that day. In verse 19, they couldn't find a way in except through the roof. Two obstacles, the crowd and the Pharisees. One of the things I most long to see God accomplish in each one of our lives is the astounding and sudden realization that you yourself are precious to Him. We can be in such crowds, even in a Bible study this size and what I can see. We can feel like we're in such a crowd, we will still tend to think, "He really wasn't saying that to me." You got to quit thinking that all the profound works God wants to do is going to be in your church leaders and people that are really gifted. No, you are gifted.
Amen.
Would you believe Him for your own? Are you going to let the crowd keep you from Jesus? Or like that woman, are you going to reach through with everything you've got to grab hold of the hem of His garment? Only this time, He can turn around to you and say, "Well, go right ahead. It's what I came for."
Amen.
It is my agenda. It is my agenda. I have come to call the paralytic to her feet.
Amen.
to his feet, the crowd, but not only the crowd, the Pharisees. I want to say this tenderly. I was going to say gently. It won't necessarily be gentle, but I want to say it with tenderness. I want to say it with compassion. Some of us are not knowing the full range of healing that the Lord Jesus wants to give us because of the Pharisees in our lives and in our midst. We still look at them and read off of their faces that we do not deserve to ever be used of God. We hardly deserve to be forgiven, certainly do not deserve to be used. I mean, we can just poker face one another, or am I telling you the truth? Amen. Don't you think there's a reason why Christ said to the crowd after he called Lazarus forth from the dead, you go take off his grave clothes. I raised him from the dead. But you're going to have to be the one to see and to acknowledge that he's a living man and not dead. So often we keep people in that trap. We won't let them out. We won't let them out because we remember. Now God, the perfect and holy and righteous one upon his throne, has chosen to forget and no longer hold those transgressions against us, but we have very good memories. Doesn't even have to be in something that we say. Can be a look, a tone. Leave something here in Luke chapter 5 and go with me for a moment to Mark 9. I want to show you something that I find extremely interesting. Mark chapter 9. Anybody love the Word of God today? Amen. Let him speak a word over you today. He is talking to you, not just the person next to you. He's talking to you. Mark chapter 9, I want you to see something intriguing. Look at verses 14 through 19 again. Be visual with it. Picture the scene. Now, Christ and three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, have been on the Mount of Transfiguration. These events that we're about to read about happen when they come down from the mountain. This is what they find. It says in verse 14, when they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them, and the teachers of the law, here we go again, arguing with them. What were they doing? You tell me.
Arguing.
Tell me one more time.
Arguing.
Arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. Verse 16, Christ asked them a very important question. What are you arguing with them about? What are you arguing with them about? Verse 17, a man in the crowd answered, Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. And Jesus looks back at them and says in verse 19, oh, unbelieving generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. What is Christ so indignant about? He had empowered them to do exactly that. Jesus had empowered his disciples to cast demons out of people. It was their supernatural empowering from the divine resource of God himself. He said, this will be the authority that you will have. And suddenly, this guy is telling them, but they could not. Why could they not? The key to understanding is in the question Christ asked them when he came down and saw what was going on. He said, why are you arguing with them? Who were they arguing with? The teachers of what?
The law.
All right, let me tell you something. Never argue with the Pharisee. Never argue with the Pharisee. Love a Pharisee. Appreciate a Pharisee that can bring a lot to the mix, can be some of the most faithful servants that will ever be around you in your church. And I mean, somebody just ought to really be doing it right. And a whole lot of time, they're the one doing it. You understand what I'm saying? A lot of good things, but they're caught up in legalism. And they will talk you out of your belief. Let me tell you something. Unbelief is contagious. Glory to God, so is belief. So is being around somebody whose belief in God is so thrilling and so delightful that you want some of that. But you can look in the face of a Pharisee, and it can be something God called you to do, that you have the power to do. But you will lose your confidence because you were arguing with a Pharisee. What did God tell you? Who are you letting talk you out of that? What are you doing? Don't argue with them. This is one of those times where you go like this, anybody know what I'm talking about? Where you just, whatever you're just thinking to yourself over and over and over and over again. I've had this experience so many times where I've just thought to myself over in my mind, God is who he says he is. God can do what he says he can do. Yes. I'm who God says I am. I can do all things through Christ. God's word is alive and active in me. And no matter what you're saying to me, and I'm rocking by this time, I'm going to believe God. Amen. Amen. Not going to believe a Pharisee. Because God came to set captives free. Now, I want you to look with me, as it says in 22 through 24, as it tells us about Christ healing the man. And through that process, looking back at Luke chapter 5, where we're told that he forgave his sins. Now, listen carefully to this. Not all healing involves forgiveness. We know that. We cannot look at the word and assume that every single time we're sick, it's because we have somehow transgressed against God. You can't go there. Every single situation is different and separate, and we just got to seek God. Sometimes God just wants to show his glory in something that he's going to do in us. He wants to finish something that's lacking. He wants to promote some character and some depth of integrity and compassion in us. But in this particular case, for reasons that Christ knew, because he can see in the heart of a man and see in the heart of a woman, this healing involved forgiveness. May I say to you, so did mine. While all healing does not involve forgiveness, all forgiveness involves healing. Amen. Amen. Some of us can't get on with it because we cannot accept we're forgiven. So that measure of healing, is this fair to say? Remains distant from us because we cannot accept that. I love the wording in the passage in Luke 5. So that you may know, let's say, so that you may know.
So that you may know.
The Son of Man, say it.
The Son of Man.
Has authority.
On earth.
To forgive sins. I don't know about you, but I'm so happy it's on earth. Yes. I'm so happy that it happens here. And not just when we see him face to face in glory. I'm going to tell you, I need it now. He has authority. Don't you love the wording? Any phrase, any title that is ever given to God or given to Christ in his word is always in perfect context. Anytime. Even the difference between God and Lord in Scripture. Every title, Son of God, is telling a little different connotation in that context than Son of Man. He's using Son of Man here as his own title because it's man that needs forgiveness. You know what I think sometimes breaks the heart of God? That we just flat don't believe what he did. I wonder if we think that he thinks how humble we are when we will not see ourselves as forgiven. When we go on with our heads hung in shame and under the paralysis of self-condemnation, are we calling that humility? Because God calls it unbelief. He doesn't look at that and go, aren't you humble? He looks at us and goes, aren't you faithless? If I did it, you could believe it. Anybody? Amen. Anybody? Yeah. We can go on for years. It could be years, years since we were in that trap of sin. And we will still go on and on and on, begging him over and over again. How do I know? Because I have done it. I've made a life out of it. Let me tell you how God got through to me. It was through the writing of somebody else. I was reading a book on forgiveness. And the book said this. It said, when we continue begging God to forgive us for a sin we have already repented of, now, we can repent for any kind of sin. We can be right in the middle of it right now and know, God, Help me. I want out. I want to be free. I'm paralyzed in this stronghold. But sometimes, am I telling you the truth? It can be something we walked away from some time ago, but we're still under the self-condemnation of it. And so he made this point. He said, every single time you repeat it over and over, all of your regrets and what a terrible sinner you were and how awful it was. I have done this. I have lived this. I know what this is like. Every single new thing God would do for me, I would go back to how he was worthy of me making better decisions than that years ago. Just paralyzed by it. Paralyzed by sins that were years and years old. I would still go back through those regrets. And so this man said in this book, every time you say it, repeat it, you are reaffirming in your mind that you're not really forgiven. And that day, I got down on my knees and I determined I was going to receive it and I was going to be done with it. Amen. That from that point on, when the enemy tempted me with that kind of self-condemnation, I, instead of going back there with him, I was going to say to God, because you have this overwhelming thing, because you know God's been merciful to you, I need to say something. So it's going to become, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for all you've done for me. That thank you that you forgave me for that sin, and I've been made whole and I've been made clean. Let me tell you, once the enemy realizes that your new reaction is going to be praise, he will not do it long. If there's one thing the enemy is going to try not to provoke you to do, it is to praise and gratitude to God. So if your new response becomes praise, he's going to lay off you soon. Unless you're easy to drag back. What if this time you weren't? What if this time you weren't? Somebody just needs to be forgiven for pharisaical sins of mean-spiritedness, of manipulation and control. Am I talking to anybody? See, we just think of the big sins that really should paralyze someone, when there are other things that are so insidious because they're not obvious, at least not to us when we look in the mirror. The power of the Lord was present for him to heal them. The story concludes with a command of Christ to the paralytic as he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home. Pick it up and take your mat home. Sometimes the hardest place on earth to live out our healing is at home. Yes. Nobody's seen us more messed up than that. Oh, my man, it's been so good for me. This morning, he came over to me and hugged me in the hotel room and said, thank you for putting up with me. I said, are you kidding? As hard as we fought and as much as we've been through, I wouldn't have missed you for the world. Wouldn't have missed you for the world. He's taught me so much, and one of them is that he would say to me over and over again, baby, you gotta let me out. You gotta let me out. Because when he and I were really going through deep processes of healing, because we were so messed up and in so much bondage, when we would get into a conflict or into a situation, I would go ahead and assume how he was going to act, and I would begin to flinch. And I'm not talking about he never was somebody that hit me or anything like that. He just was more explosive with his tongue than I was. As far as it, he might tend to get angrier or louder. I was just quieter and meaner. You understand what I'm saying? But he kind of did. Well, that kind of shuts me down. So I start flinching. I start imagining how this is going to go. I start thinking he's going to get in his car and he's going to go do something. He's going to get in the car and leave because that's going to be his reaction. He's going to put distance between us. And he would go, I'm not the same man. You got to let me out. You got to let me out. You got to give me a chance to show you that I'm someone different. I can say something for that man that I couldn't have said for myself. Every single time I needed him to let me out, he did. God's business is letting you out. He'll believe it's real before anybody else will. Let him do it. The Son of Man has authority over whatever has had you paralyzed. Get up and walk.
To obtain information on Beth's teaching materials and for her speaking schedule, visit us online at lifetoday.org.
I'll tell you what, I think Beth gets the point across well. That this is really a gifting from God. Mm-hmm. And I think she's going to help a lot of people sort of get unstuck.
Absolutely. I love to listen to her because she does bring such insight through God's Word.
There's no doubt about it. It's called a practical application of God's truth, where you don't just carry it around in a book, but you start carrying it around in your heart. Mm-hmm. So when she talks about when your life has you paralyzed, and really it's so much that goes into our lives that has really got us fouled up, we're going to send this DVD to any of you who would like to have a series that really is on health and really living well. We found that our viewers want to know practical things that we can do really to reverse a negative process, let's say, where things are going from bad to worse. A lot of times people say, I'm in a mess, and I guess it's too late, but it really isn't. Your body, His temple. I want you to get it. I really hope you'll get it on DVD. You can get it on CD if you like. There are 8 sessions. You've got the books. You've got Beth Moore's teaching. It's on DVD. If you would like to have it, dial the number. We're asking you to make a gift. And it helps us in all the outreaches of life, makes this program even possible. In fact, we're talking to you in your behalf to help you and others you love. I want you to be healthy. Listen, if you say things are going bad, it can turn around. I'm telling you, listen, our guests, many of them, have been a wreck physically, and then they learned how to turn around. It wasn't just divine healing. It was divine direction.
Yes.
And walking in these right ways. Let us help you. So your gift, $99 if you like the DVD, $59 if you like it on CD. And then keep this in mind, would you? We've got 15,000 children that we've located in Nicaragua that we need to feed. It'd be a great way for you to end the year. By the way, year-end gifts are really special. Not only what they do, but it can mean a lot for you right now. It's a great time to make a special gift. You may make a very significant gift. It'll be significant because of what it does, too. It's going to help some children. We have 15,000 children we need help with. Great way to start the new year by making the special gift God puts on your heart. Would you right now dial that number? You need somebody to pray with? Always a prayer line. But it's also an opportunity for you to request, I want my body, your body, His temple. I want it. I want to be healthy. I want to help others be healthy. People I love. I've got some friends I want to help. I need help. Would you call? And then consider that special gift to help those children in Nicaragua. Thank you so much for making the call. By the way, you can go online, lifetoday.org, and you can help that way. And you can request the product. Thanks for doing it.
In this fast-paced world, it's often difficult to balance what the Bible says about health and wholeness with the latest scientific discoveries. Introducing Your Body, His Temple, a powerful new series that will put you on the road to physical health and emotional wholeness. Through 8 life-changing messages, our guests Caroline Leaf, Janet McCarroll, and Marty Copeland team up to help you achieve God's best for your life. Their professional insight and passion for wellness will elevate you from a frustrating lifestyle of stress and dieting to a lifestyle of freedom in your body, your soul, and your spirit. Plus, when you call today, we'll send you 3 dynamic books. Dr. Caroline Leaf's Who Switched Off My Brain, Dr. Janet McCarroll's Fabulous at 50, and certified personal trainer Marty Copeland's Top 10 Diet and Fitness Strategies.
I can't thank you enough. This is what I was telling everyone my whole life.
Thank you for explaining everything so well. The journey's not easy, but I've come so far I can't turn back now, even if I wanted to.
This is really remarkable. Thank you for bringing this to life.
With your gift of $59 or more, you'll receive Your Body, His Temple audio series and books, or request the video series and books with your gift of $99 or more. Call today and we'll send you a bonus DVD by Beth Moore, When Life Has You Paralyzed. As you move on your journey to health and emotional wholeness, you'll be helping 15,000 suffering children in Nicaragua take a step toward better health. Please consider an additional gift of $20, $50, or $100 to help us provide emergency food supplies for 10, 25, or even 50 children for a month. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more, and you may request the video series along with one of the final few new creation bronze sculptures. This is the last week. Call, write, or make your gift online today.
I do pray that you will go to the telephone, or you can go online. Betty, you do that. You really are quite the internet shopper. And it's okay, because it saves you steps and times, and then sometimes I can come look over your shoulder and catch you. But let me tell you something. You go online, lifetoday.org, and say, I want the product. I want this inspiration, and know that you're helping us help others, even with the program and the telecast. It's all a part of it. We don't sell product. We ask you to make a gift. And we suggest the amounts because it's basically a whole lot less than what the product's actually worth, because it could change your life. But we're actually going to be investing in others. And here, you know, as we have year end, it's a great time for people to make year end gifts. You begin a new year, you start the new year out, but it's going to take all of us working together. And we want to thank you for helping. You want to say thanks to Beth and just thank God for Wednesdays with Beth. Thank you for watching. Tell your friends for it.
Connect with Life Today through your favorite social media sites. Just go to lifetoday.org and click Connect. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.